I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional and life coach, making sure that both of those areas are nothing short of spectacular. I'm here with Sunana Mehta. Hi, Sunana.
Hello. Nice to meet you, everyone.
Great. All right. I'm glad you're on the show today. And let me read you something about Sunana. Sunana Mehta is the founder of Design Your Next, a strategic small group program where ambitious women at a crossroads discover their purpose and design what's next on their terms. Her work is rooted in truth. She's lived her entire life. Choosing yourself is the most graceful act of rebellion. Over 20 years, Sunana built a powerhouse corporate career, serving as an award-winning strategy head at global ad agencies in the U.S. and India, and as the global head of insights at HP. Born between America and India, she learned early what it takes to fight for your place. Resilience became her signature. At 50, she flipped the script again to discover transformation comes from aligning intellect with intuition. That is great. I'm amazed. I love some of those phrases because they're so, you know, they're so heartful. Now, when were you at your crossroads? Because it sounds like you were winning awards, you were doing ads, then you had insights, and that sounds like a very creative, fun job. What led to you either changing out of that or sticking with the same but being more aligned with who you were?
Well, I've been at crossroads in multiple times, and I'm sure your listeners have been at them as well. My most recent one was when I was climbing that corporate ladder of success and reaching milestones. In fact, was living out a lot of what I had envisioned as what my life would be about. The dream, if you will, or the picket fences with the house in the suburbs. And, you know, I was living in San Diego at the time of when my let's say, pivot happened. I was in the careers I dreamed of: creativity, advertising, brand building, innovation, doing that all from a human-centered perspective. So it was all pretty darn great.
Yeah.
Then a few things shifted perspective. And I think part of it is what we tend to call our inner critic or our, you know, that voice that tells us you're not enough. People classify it as imposter syndrome. I have a different take on that, but I kept hearing a voice just very uncomfortable with the corporate world that I was in. It's all right for many people, I would say, but for me, there was this term that kept coming to me was, why is it that success, if this was success and if this is winning, why is it feeling like losing? And it was starting to feel that way, the burnout, the exhaustion, the politics, the angling, the hitting of the glass ceiling where you start to realize that, honestly, the you're the messenger from both directions, the top down, and then from me to teams who were, I hate calling it below me, but connected to me in terms of hierarchy, right?
Oh, goodness, yeah.
And it started to feel like a lot of things. And yeah, I can go on, but you were going to say something.
Well, I was just saying, being a woman in corporate America, HP, big company, Were you getting some challenges? As you said, you kind of hit some limits there.
Yes, and maybe. Yes, I was hitting limits, but I think there were choices then that I had to make in order to overcome them. And I found myself having to become less like myself in the process. And that was difficult. So I started to question who I was authentically. And I think also in midlife, we start to realize and see how our life is evolving, how our bodies are changing, and how our, for me, my son, children growing up, right? And parents aging, in my case, my mother and people in my family. And then you people your own age, you start to realize existentially that even they are falling ill. And you start to question, is this really making me feel like there is an aliveness in my life, or am I just following a prescription? And for what reason? So yeah, I was facing some challenges, and I had to make a choice. Do I stick in, get stuck in, as you say, as the
Yeah,
British say,
stay
or
with
do
it.
I, do I stay with it, or do I walk away? And a lot of people told me, I was like, I need to stay in because that's right. I mean, I'm not brave if I don't stay in and stick it out, right? And I realized that the braver thing was to walk away.
The riskier thing for sure.
Yeah. And so those challenges, they tend to be political. They tend to be having to be the messenger for things that you don't want to be the messenger for. They come with a ground of a bit of ruthlessness that you have to adopt in order to stay in the game.
Yeah, but you said you were, it was heart-centered. Can you tell us what that is when working in your jobs and why you had to be ruthless? Again, I'm hearing two different ends of the conversation.
Well, it was human-centered, and human-centered being the things we were designing for other people started. So innovation and advertising and brand marketing, all of this, a big part of this is understanding what people need. In our case, quote unquote, consumers need or customers need, right? So it was centered from that perspective. Of course, from a business lens, there are certain choices you have to make that aren't human-centered. They're profit-centered. So there is really a balance between a fine line between align letting those two things happen together. So in a way, yes, if you buy into the business world, that's right. It makes sense. But with all the pressures that come along with it, the sharp elbows, the competitiveness internally to stay up is mean. There's meanness associated with that process. Now, again, I'm not dissing the people who are in it because I have a lot of friends who are. But for me, it was eroding something inside. And I had to step away to get my own breath. I'm a creative person. I am human-centered. How am I doing all this work where I'm trying to understand people in order to honestly sell to them, but I've lost an understanding of myself? How do you rebuild that understanding? I needed
Yeah.
to do that.
And that's great. I love hearing that. There really was, a complex situation because you were in your job to make money, to make customers happy, or to make the product that you were in the company with, that more you sold more, but yet yeah, you had to be something other than yourself. You had to be something that you weren't quite aligned with. So tell, I'm very curious about how you did step away from that, how you started to find yourself again.
Like I say, is choosing yourself is the most graceful act of rebellion.
Great line. Great line.
I say that because to be authentic to who you are, you have to push against convention at some level, or at least step away from convention to step into an unknown, to leap into something where you don't know where you're going. And it is an act of rebellion because it is a push away from, but it's graceful because it's in search of your truth, your authenticity, who you are. And that's what it means to choose yourself. You do that and you find, you assume you'll be isolated. You find that there are many people who resonate with who you are and they come to you in the process. So you're not alone. You discover that you're not alone to step away. You're going to have hands to who will hold you. In addition to that, you believe in yourself. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things for people is trusting the unknown means trusting and believing in yourself. And that safety net is a hard one. I won't say that's easy. That's actually what does not design your next starts with, right? If you don't trust yourself, how will you create a path that nobody has yet known, not even you? Right, it's unique to you. So one is, I always say that self-belief is my safety net. It has been throughout my life. I have made pivots again and again to find that that is a very strong net. You realize you're not alone, and you reflect and you center. And I say that not only as meditation, it's through experimentation, exploration. I did yoga every day for a year. I'm not doing it as much
Yay.
anymore, but I
Oh,
was doing it. I'm
that's
doing a little
great.
bit now, but
There we
I
go.
did that. I joined and I got another master's degree in strategic design, and I was traveling the world for the program, in the program. So I was discovering new boundaries. And within that program, I was meeting new people, even through LinkedIn, let's say. I have met so many new and wonderful people. Your perspective starts to change. So I'd call it like the great unfolding.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that sounds great. I'm hearing that because you took a risk and decided to open yourself up for opportunities and just learning, just saying, I don't know, I'm just going to be open to what comes. You were able to really start on your path, your pivot, but really become who you enjoy being. And you talk about imposter syndrome, and you said you always fall back on self-belief. And again, that to me are two different ends of the spectrum. I'm not good at what I do. I can't do this. There are other people better than me. Yet I've got self-belief. So unpack that.
Well, first of all, for me, the imposter syndrome in my own self-discovery, I've come to a rather provocative conclusion. And this is certainly not 100% right, but I feel this very strongly. Imposter syndrome is your inner voice potentially telling you that you don't belong because the room is wrong. And sometimes we say, oh, we don't belong. I'm not enough, right? That veer into I'm not enough versus I don't belong. This doesn't make any sense, you know? And I think there's a fine line between the two. I've been in big corporate meetings and pitching big business and all of that, where I will sit in the room and go, are you this naive in my head, right? But at the same time, I'm saying, well, maybe I'm not the right one. Maybe I'm not the smart one here. The reality is that I feel like they're two sides of the same coin. Your imposter syndrome, the other side of that is intuition. Maybe something in you is saying this system is not the system that's culturally right for you. Maybe you
Interesting.
don't fit. So yeah, it's not that you're not enough. It's not that you, but it is. Maybe you don't belong. People say, I don't belong in this room. Maybe you don't.
That's a great way to look at it, to really get out of I'm not enough to this, this these people, the room, what we're doing, exactly what you went through, doesn't feel right.
And so I worry about imposter syndrome because I feel like we at some level are gaslighting ourselves. We've given the name, it's like restless leg syndrome. And I don't mean to discount imposter syndrome because I know for our what we perceive is real. But to me, it is that I've put this notion in my head. I hear it and I listen to things I read. I read the word imposter syndrome pretty much every day somewhere. I see 75% or some figure like that of people say they have it, of women say they have it. And I'm just wondering if we've created an epidemic.
Interesting. That's a very interesting thought, and I like how you don't put it on yourself, but you put it on things that are outside of you. I mean, the self-belief really is where strength comes from. It all comes from the inside. And whatever's going on the outside, yes, we can learn, but we really have to check it against our own beliefs to say, is that right? I mean, I've been doing this 3 years now and I've been really successful and love it, love it. And why do I feel that something from the outside or somebody from the outside is telling me I'm wrong?
Right. And it's important to be cognizant of the situation. I'm not saying there's an easy solution to what's in the world, right? It is for men and for women, both. It is in the world. But if we're more aware of it and aware of what it really is, then maybe we can start to change it versus feel like we're an outcast who has to go it alone in order to save ourselves from it.
So your company is Design Your Next. Tell me how you help people take that step, be supported in taking that next step to their their wonderful, their happiness, their joy, and understanding who they are in a much deeper sense.
Design Your Next is a strategic program that I have built. It is a small cohort-based program where women, I like to say ambitious women who are restless and ready. Restlessness is a signal. Restless and ready to discover their purpose and design their next chapter on their terms. It is done as a cohort. It is done in a process across 8 weeks where six women, no more than six, spend time together virtually. I bring people from around the world into those six, curated, to explore who they are and who they are becoming, and activate that in steps that will actually enable them to create their own path. And hopefully, my hope and vision is leave footsteps for others to follow. So it's a cohort of six women using design, strategic design, or the way it's design thinking as a base, where I bring in a few disciplines, including operations. One of my leaders is a fractional COO. The other is a method actor, where we discover who we are, we understand, and we take that forward into some shape, some steps, and we bring it into our lives and we create habits out of what we discover we want, what's inside of us.
Great. Now it's interesting. You're working with strategic methods, design thinking. Give me a few examples of those. What is that exactly?
So design thinking is another way of saying, I guess, human-centered design, which if you ask me it's something we've done from ancient times in a way, or maybe not actually when we think about it. But it's about understanding human beings, and in this case, understanding yourself, and creating something from that, making something real from that understanding. So it's humans getting together, creating together, and for humans, and the creation is an innovation that will enable humans to benefit, right? So it's really what it is. I mean, you'd think that's pretty basic, right? But interestingly, that's not how we go about design a lot of the times. It's not what's built into the system. So we run across a process of 8 weeks where there's time with me, there's time in a group, and then there's conversation online around eight topics, which will progressively, incrementally bring people towards the statements, I was born to. What were you born to do? From where am I today to which ideals or attitudes do I want tomorrow? What are those shifts? What in perspective? To saying what you really believe in as a worldview for yourself and for others that you want to affect, where you can play a role. And your purpose statement, what you exist for. There are many, but which one are you looking at and focusing, holding on to here? To actually driving and writing a concept statement around, therefore, this is my ambition and this is what I'm going to do with it. To here's my plan to incorporate it for my life. So I call it the eight P's because, hey, everything turned out to be a P, but it's play, perspective, power, purpose, plan, project plan, promise, you know, we go.
We like
But
alliterations,
we
so it,
like
it's
alliteration.
all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I'm hearing that you really, the first couple of weeks, you're really discovering who you are, and really what I love what I was born to do. That really clarifies it, because you're really knocking out all those other voices of, not what I was told I needed to do, or not that I got my degree in college, but really what I'm passionate about. And then I'm hearing, what you're existing for to put that in motion, and then an action plan around that, so you can develop those habits to re some really cement those behaviors.
Yep, that's right. And the I was born to is very important to me because we often race to get to outcomes and a plan. First of all, you know, that's great because you go after the plan and the plan unfolds and changes because it won't be the same plan that you started with. But that's what's really important is we often say, I aspire to do this. I want to do that. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. But we have to start with the origin, not the outcome. Who and what was I excited by as a child? What and how did I play? Good times or bad times, what were the things that made me proud, that made me feel purest in terms of how I'm extraordinary? What made me lose sense of time, right? And inhibition. If I'm able to find those zones in someone, if they're able to, then you can see how that has been carried through in your life. So, for example, one woman in my program, she's a professor of architecture, a dean of architecture, and she's like, well, I'm a transmitter now. I'm always voicing and teaching and telling. But in my childhood, I was an absorber, a receiver. I was a listener. And so I need that back. And where has that gone? So for her, it was, I was born to listen, but I'm not doing that today. Right? So let's remember that and see how it plays. And let's capture that and see how we can take it forward.
Yeah, that's great. With many of these things, and again, it's a very a creative process. How do you, work through the inhibitions. I mean, a lot of these things have been forgotten and had many layers throughout people's experience, and both the positive things I can do or things self negative self-talk of I can't do. How is it that you allow them to move forward with courage?
It's so important to create a safe space and to build trust quickly. And that's, of course, that takes time. But one is I have deep conversations with each individual before we get started, a couple times. And then when we get in the space, because I've brought people together who I know, I believe there'll be some interesting connection. It's hard to put this into words. There is a magic that happens in a cohort. And that's why I'm keeping it small. That's why it's six people. I mean, I've done focus groups in my life all my life. You do it with eight, it's too many. 12 is too many. Six, there's something. Not too big, not too small. Enough energy, enough activity, enough vulnerability. Some people will join the program just to benefit from the fact that people they think are really awesome and believe and would likely admire are sitting there sharing their truths, sharing their. So it is in that sharing, there is a magic in a cohort that
Yeah.
lowers inhibition.
It's great that you found the magic number. I agree with you. Six is a great number. And also, you mentioned restlessness before. That, I'm assuming, will help to really push these women into risks they haven't taken. They're ready. They are searching, and they're in that mode of being open. And just to hear other women being in the same place really does give them permission to do that and allows them to get excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, I interview South Asian women whenever I get a chance and publish those interviews, women who have stood on their own two feet and sort of charted their path. And one of them, she's an artist, a ceramic artist. She said, "It's just great to be restless. It's great. It's great." And I just remember that because we think of restlessness as frustration, and we can feel that it is something that is not good. But to me, it's a signal. It means you're ready. It means you're ready to do something about it. We are burdened by our potential and our credentials unless we know how to channel them, right? We're stuck under the weight of our achievements and who we are and all the things and roles we've played. So how do you unburden that? How do you release the restlessness? You're ready if you're restless. And I have to say this thing, you brought up risk a couple times. It's interesting. I was in a focus group when I was working in advertising in Chicago. This was about 15, 20 years ago. And I'll never forget the small business owner's quote in the focus group, which was, we said, "Well, isn't it risky to not have a job and to just do this on your own?" And we all feel it. And he said something that an athlete once told me when I was working on Nike in India. He said, "The risk is not doing it. There's more risk in me working a job than in doing this entrepreneurial thing." Same with the athlete. There's more risk in me not being an athlete because this is in my blood. How can I not do this? How can I not be true to who I am and what I need in my life just because convention tells me it's much safer to do this other thing?
Absolutely, and well said. How could I not do it? That's listening really deeply to, again, what your alignment is, what your purpose is, what your passions are, and to not do it is, I would imagine it makes you both restless and frustrated. So there's only one path forward, and it's very clear. And it seems like the cohort that you guide, things become much clearer and much more motivating for people to do these things in their life that they're called to do. So, yeah. So Nina, how can people get in touch with you to get more information about your program?
The website. So that's designyournext.studio, STUDIO studio.
Great.
My vision is that it'll be a studio one day as I build the program.
In the meantime, I like the studio. It seems like there's lots of room to create and play and again, lots of room to be who you are and experiment.
Yeah, and putting it in the name for me is a way of saying it's going to happen.
I like that. Ooh, I like that. Well, thank you so much for your time and your honesty. I love how you help people live spectacularly in the life they were meant for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is what it's about, right? Like, and how do you define spectacular?
Exactly. About 100,000 different ways.
Yeah, it's all spectacular.
Right. Yep, exactly. All right. Well, thank you again and good luck with it. Continuing the building process and hanging in there for an amazing ride.
Thank you, and thank you to all your listeners for listening, and to you for inviting me to your podcast.
Absolutely. All right, you take care. All right, bye.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people. Want more? Visit my website at yourspectacularlife.com.